Thank you, Kyle, for reading those words for us this morning. You know, in moments of anxiety, Christ spoke these words to the children who would follow him. In essence, what he is saying is what we would say to you this morning. Perhaps there needs to be a new routine. A new routine in 2018. The old year is gone, the new has come. And so God has placed before each and every one of us challenges for a new year. And I want to challenge you this morning to develop a new routine. You know, we always sometimes have a way of getting stuck in a rut. And someone appropriately said that a rut is nothing more than an open grave. And if we stay in it long enough, we will die. It will all be over. Sometimes we get in the routine of not coming to worship, only unless we feel like it. We get in the routine of giving occasionally. We get in the routine sometimes of maybe not reading the Bible as often as we should. But our routine should be quite different from that. This morning, I want to talk to you about a new routine. And I have learned and observed through the years that you will never, ever change your life until you change your routine. And we all have one. Now, in conjunction with that, I want to talk to you tonight. Our sermon tonight is entitled, Don't Let a Bad Day Make You Feel Like You Have a Bad Day. Don't let a bad day make you feel like you have a bad life. Now, I believe that God can turn things around in our life, and I'm going to tell you how that's done tonight. So I hope that all of you in forming your new routine will be here tonight at 6 o'clock as we congregate once again to worship our God who is in heaven. I would say, first of all, that we need to clear our mind of a mentality that says we can't. Sometimes when you start talking to people about changing or making alterations in their schedule or perhaps maybe doing some things that they've never done before, reaching out, then they say, well, I just can't do that. I'm not really convinced of that. I believe that God empowers us to do much, much more than we ever think about in our mind. How often have you ever made this statement? I've asked many, many people this week, and believe it or not, I say, how are you doing? Well, I have just been swamped. Have you ever heard people say that? I have. I want to talk to you also about why we feel swamped and how to fix it. There is a red alert in the Word of God. It may not be a glaring light, but there is an alert in the Word of God that says to you and me that we have to alter our schedule, that we have to develop a new routine. Maybe there's some baggage that you need to unload in your life right now as you embark upon that new routine, if the truth is known. It may be the baggage of stress, as I've talked about in recent days, because we all face it, we all have it, but the Bible says that we're to cast on Him our cares, for He cares for us, 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. And so instead of being stressed, we need to change our routine to say that God is watching over me and nothing is going to happen to me, according to what Kyle read just a moment ago, unless it is in the will of God. And if it is in the will of God, I don't want to change it. I want to accept it. If I were to ask you this morning, what does your life look like in terms of your to-do list this year? You may say, being overwhelmed by all of it. You may say, well, it's just everything in general, and I just feel so swamped. I need help. I'm coming unglued. I think it's stress. Well, how do you deal with life when you are swamped? President Trump said he was going to Washington to drain the swamp. Now, I don't know how he's going to do that. Maybe that's what he has in mind. I don't know. But I know one thing, that many of us have our mind on too many things. And we often find our head just spinning. It's hard for us to focus on one thing because we're trying to focus on so many things in life. And when every moment of our day is filled with activities, our mind never, ever really gets a chance to rest. Sometimes our heads are just pounding because we are so swamped. How many of you have ever felt like you just had your head in a vice? That was just the way it is. And you know, it's just such a stressful thing to even live life. And you're saying to the world, get me off and let me be. Richard Swenson, who is a medical doctor, by the way, wrote a book in which he discusses a number of things. But one of the things that he discusses are the maladies, the major maladies of our time. And he talks about anxiety and stress, and he simply calls it overload. He says that you and I are just swamped. We are. We're overloaded with a lot of things. And we get into a routine of doing that day in and day out, and life will never change. Now, let me share with you this morning some areas where I really believe that you and I are swamped and where we need to develop a new routine. How many of you feel like you're swamped? Be honest this morning. How many of you feel like you're swamped with commitments? If I had another hand, I'd raise it. How many of you feel that you're really swamped with commitments in life? You are. We've committed ourselves to go here and there, and we've committed ourselves to take part in all the functions socially that anybody ever invites us to or asks us to participate in, and as a result, we will really find ourselves coming and going. We will. And we have swamped ourselves so strongly that we don't know who we are. And being swamped in life sets off an alarm. It does. Most of us know when we're too swamped. We do. It affects us mentally. It affects us physically. People have heart attacks. They do. Did you know that? I learned this last week, medically speaking, that many of the cancers that we have in life are attributable to stress. It's true. Sometimes we just have to say no. That's not an easy word. It's not an easy word for me. I can tell you it's not an easy word for me. I find myself stressed sometimes and swamped trying to go from one deadline to another deadline to meet this appointment to that appointment and try to. Then there are appointments that come in between, and it's really very difficult. But sometimes we just have to say no without giving a reason. And we have to be the kind of people that say, you know what, I'm not going to get offended at him, and I'm not going to get offended at her, and my friends who tell me no, I'm not going to get offended at them, because they don't give me a reason. Some people feel like when you say no, however, that you have to give a reason for saying no. Not true. It's not always easy. But there are times when we have to say no to certain things that we might focus on the things that are important. Stress can kill you. It renders you incapable of doing what God wants you to do. You cannot be all things to all people. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to make some people upset. Because there are some people that don't have the right attitude. There are some people who think you ought to jump loops for them. God didn't say that. Nobody has enough time to take on every request. I get them all the time. I hold a number of gospel meetings every year. I get requests for many, many more. But I don't take them all. I take the ones I choose to take. I get a lot of invitations for speaking engagements. I take the ones that I feel like I can handle and I can take care of. And I very lovingly decline in some cases. Because you see, I don't want to die prematurely. I want to die when the good Lord calls me. One of the happiest moments ever is when you feel the courage to let go of what you can't change. And God will help you change it. Again, there are some things you just can't do, however, and we have to be able to distinguish between those things. We need to erase sometimes when we feel so swamped. We have to erase some of the commitments and develop a new routine. We have to stay strong and lean upon the Lord that made the heaven and the earth and to realize that He will guide us through it. Maybe this morning, when you think about your commitments, you need to make a new routine. Maybe you're committed to the wrong things. How committed are you to the church? Where does the church fall in your line of commitments? Are you more committed to civic organizations than you are to the church? They are maligned if that is the case. Are you more committed to your job than you are to the church? It is maligned if it is. Are you more committed to pleasure? If it is, you are maligned. If what Kyle said a moment ago is true, and I believe it is, that we seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then that means precisely what it says. Sometimes people tell you, well, I'm going to be committed to the church this way. I'm going to tell you something. The proof, as the old saying goes, in the pudding is the eating of it. And I'm going to tell you something. When people tell you, I'm going to change and it's going to be a better year, I'm going to start serving God more, I'm going to start coming to church, I'm going to be there every time, I'm going to start giving to God, I'm going to start seeking the lost, I'm going to start reading the Bible every day, I'm going to start spending more time in prayer life. We will believe it when we see it. Because, and sometimes, even in reality, sometimes things can be very misleading. Don't always believe everything that you see. There was a woman one time who was flying from Seattle to San Francisco, California. Unexpectedly, the plane was diverted to Sacramento, California. A flight attendant explained that there would be a delay and that if the passengers wanted to, they could get off of the plane and then they would reboard in about 50 minutes. Everybody got off of the plane except one little old lady who was blind. A man had noticed her as he walked by and he could tell. He could tell that she was blind because her guide dog lay quietly underneath the seat in front of her. He could also tell that she had flown this flight before because the pilot approached her and he called her by name saying, Kathy, we're here in Sacramento for almost an hour. Would you like to get off and stretch your legs? She said, no thanks. But maybe Buddy, my guide dog, would like to stretch his legs. All the people at the gate area came to a standstill when they saw the pilot walk off the plane with a guide dog for the blind. Even worse, he was wearing sunglasses. People scattered. People tried to change flights. They even tried to change airlines. Things are not always as they seem. But there should be a new routine for God's people. Every year that comes along, a new routine in 2018. We are so swamped, not only with commitments, we are so swamped with possessions and debts. We are. Our closets are full. Our garages are overflowing. Don't look at your husband. I see you looking. We go into debt, prepare all of these things that we simply must have. And now we're so afraid that someone will steal them. We are swamped. We are in the same area of possessions. And much of the money that we would normally give to God, we end up spending on ourselves. It's true. How many of you ladies ever say this? There's nothing to wear. I have nothing to wear. If the truth were known, except for everything in my overcrowded closet. You know, the older I get, and I mean this sincerely, simplicity is a wonderful thing. Someone said to me the other day, they were talking about, you know, things I used to care for when I was young. I don't care for those things anymore. I don't even worry about those things. A man told me the other day, he says, you know, I used to worry all the time about what people think about me when I walk in a room. And he said, oh, now I've come to understand that they don't even think about me at all. Less stuff, less work, less expense equals, listen, more money, more time, more joy. It's a case of where less equals more. Too many people spend the money they haven't earned to buy the things they don't want to impress the people that they don't like. And you know what you do when you start doing that? You start finding yourself trying to stretch that dollar and make it go further. It's true. Jesus said in the book of Luke chapter 12 that man's life does not consist of the things which he has in his grasp or within his hands or the things that he might possess. I can tell you one lesson that almost everybody needs to learn is this one. Don't spend money you do not have. This would be a great lesson. And by the way, this going out on the internet, we might just send one of these to the congressmen, senators up in Washington. Don't spend the money we don't have. We wear a yoke around our neck because we have become so entrenched and so swamped with debt. Many are overloaded with debt because their outgo exceeds their income. And that's not good. And for that reason, maybe some of you need to develop a new routine in 2018. But there's another area, thirdly. We are so swamped at work. One young man was telling me the other day over in Tyler, he says, I work. He says, I'd love to go to church more, but he says, you know what? He says, I work 24/7. I said, what? He said, we work around the clock. He said, I work 7 days a week. He said, I'm working two jobs. That's a lot, folks. And we are swamped. We are swamped. You ever felt like that? Well, you just didn't have time to get it all done. Luke 8 and 14 says, Jesus speaking, and that which fell among the thorns, he's talking about the seed of the kingdom now, And he's giving the explanation for it. He said, and that which fell among the thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and they're choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life and bring forth no fruit to perfection. One of the reasons that we are non-fruitful and we're not really bearing fruit for the kingdom of God is the fact that you and I are being choked by the cares, the commitments, the pleasures and the wealth that we often seek in life. And we find ourselves buried. There are very few people in this world who are equipped to be the jack of all trades. And you know what? Too much work will make Jack a dull boy. It does. When people are overworked, it causes problems at the home. It does. Tempers get short. People say things they ought not to say to one another. People get short with their friends. They do. In Mark 6:31, you know what Jesus said to those of us who are stressed? He says, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there are many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. They were swamped. Listen to what he says. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. We all need rest. We all need it. That's why I've told you before, and very few people do this. And this is not a commercial for Sleep Number. But I'm telling you, if you want to get proper rest, get you a good mattress, because you will spend about a third of your life in bed. You wake up the next morning grumpy. You wake up the next morning just as tired or even more so than when you went to bed the night before. You don't feel invigorated from a night's rest. You don't feel that you're ready to get up and meet the day and the challenges of the day, because you haven't rested. One man was so delusional, he said, due to the current workload, the light at the end of the tunnel has been turned off. Maybe you feel like that at times. In Mark 4:38, the Bible says, and he was in the back of the ship, that is, Jesus was, and a storm had arisen out on the Sea of Galilee, and he was asleep on a pillow. I doubt it was a MyPillow. But he was asleep on a pillow, and they awake him, and they say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Sometimes you find yourself running, but you don't know why. And sometimes you just have to back up, reflect, and say, I ain't gonna run no more. Enough is enough. Even a mentally challenged man understood that. Sometimes people feel that they're just juggling responsibilities because they are so swamped. It's the way life is sometimes, isn't it? We have to take a break from all the busyness of life and spend time alone with Jesus. And when you do that, you will find strength. When you cast your cares upon Him. Sometimes we don't even know where we're going. Life is spinning out of control. But we're on our way. The Bible says in the book of Psalms 37 and verse 23 that the steps of a good man or ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. One of the things we could do in terms of developing a new routine this year is to let God direct our steps. Let Him. We sang that old hymn, He leadeth me. We have to stay balanced in life, whether it's with our commitments, work, whatever it happens to be, pleasure, money, even in your spiritual life, we have to be balanced. What do I mean by that? Well, God doesn't want you reading the Bible all the time. He wants you living the Bible the biggest part of the time. If you spend all your time reading the Bible, you don't have any time to implement what you read in the Bible. We have to stay balanced. Maybe this morning you need to develop a new routine in 2018. But fourthly, we are swamped sometimes with the burden of sin. How many times have you ever looked at your life and just say, boy, I am in a mess? Sometimes we are. Because sin can make you sick. It can depress you. Your anxiety level goes way up. Physical problems will result. And we have to lay aside, the Bible says in Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2, the sin and the weight. It's not by accident, it's called a weight. Lay aside the weight and the sin that so easily besets us and run the race that is set before us with patience. Sometimes we just have to crawl out from underneath the weight of sin because it weighs heavy on our hearts. If you were to circle all of your sins, if you were to make a list of sin and you were to go through and circle them, what would they be? Maybe you're envious this morning. Maybe you're lazy. Maybe you're anxious about things. Maybe you gossip. Maybe you're so full of pride. Those are things that you have to unload. It is a tremendous weight when you carry danger, when you carry anger, when you carry mistrust, when you carry shame and doubt and all of these things on your spiritual back. Too often, those are the kinds of things that we live with day in and day out. And those are the things that we have to get rid of. Jesus took our sins to the cross. That's why He wants everyone to lay their baggage at Jesus' feet. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Isn't that a good word? Rest. Generally, the Bible says that heaven is a place of rest. Revelation 14:13 says, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow. Sometimes we go through life shooting at the same old things. We need to change our routine, be different, and hit that target. Let me tell you something that's so important you need to learn is that repentance doesn't mean anything if you keep doing what you're sorry for. Matthew 3 and verse 8. Jesus said to bring forth fruit meet for repentance. And when you repent, it means you change. When you repent, it means that your life is different. You have a new routine. It's going to be different. And we have to free ourselves from the crushing weight of sin. And I don't know of anyone here today that doesn't need relief from the weight of sin. And if there is one truth that is so ever present before us every day, and listen, You don't have to check your horoscope. You don't have to open up a fortune cookie to find it to be true. Stop procrastinating now, not starting tomorrow. There are some people that dream about making changes. Oh, that's wonderful that people can have dreams, isn't it? But some people only dream about it. They never bring it to fruition. We have to leave our sins at the foot of the cross to make the adequate changes that God has asked us to make. And only Jesus can mend a broken heart. Broken because we've been so swamped by so many things in this life. And as I said, there is a danger in continuing to carry those weights around. We need to get unswamped, and if the truth is known, we need to get out of the swamp. Out of it. Any way you spin it, it's still true. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you really saved? Are you really saved? Do you know for sure that you are? Are you in a swamp of sin? If you're not a Christian and you're not saved, when are you going to make that decision to do that? If you've never been baptized for the remission of sins, what are you waiting for? 2019? 2020? 21? 2? What are you waiting for? Next month? March? April? Jesus taught, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Mark 16 and verse 16. There is no greater truth than that one. I'm going to tell you something. The way to get out of the swamp is to get into the waters of baptism, where you reach the blood of Jesus in order that you might be saved. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It's better to have the approval of God than to receive the accolades of men or the applause of mankind. Think of the consequences of staying in the swamp and doing nothing. You know what happens to people who are in a swamp? You ever heard of quicksand? You start spiraling down. You know what? Just one drop of the blood of Jesus washed away my sin. Just one. And it can happen for you. It can. It can happen for you. The real issue is, are you going to let it happen for you? The Bible also says that baptism washes away our sins. Acts 22 and verse 16. Would you begin your new routine with Christ this morning? We want to help you do that. We want to help you stay strong. We want to help guide you through life. We want to help you be the person that God wants you to be and that you want to be. But you've got to break with the past and move on into the future. Change your routine for a prosperous, a great, a memorable 2:18 right now while we stand and while we sing.